Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are. Hey, this is Bob and
it's Dr. Drew,
and this is Life.
And we have my big buddy, Michael Carano, in
your
here.
Your big buddy.
My big buddy, Mike Carano.
Makes it sound like I'm overweight.
Yeah, you're hurting his feelings now.
Already he's hurt his feelings.
Here's my tiny friend.
Hurting people's feelings.
No, here's my tiny penis friend.
Important
friend. Came to me for treatment. Hey, by the way, we're in your house right now.
Yeah.
And once again, for like the 40th time in my life, I'm reminded of the financial chasm between me and my friends.
Yeah, I know. That happens to me all the time.
Every person's house I go to, I'm like, oh, is that your Bentley? Yeah. Huh.
What is that? How do you resolve those feelings? Because I've resolved them pretty good. I just feel like some people are lucky. Some people work really hard. I have some friends that are lucky that live like that. Some people that really work hard to live like that.
It's all chaos. You never know. I mean, working hard is obviously one of the most important factors. But
yep.
But
no, I got friends that just inherited it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Would piss me off.
Yeah.
But there are people that I look at and I go, God, I'm so happy for them. I'm so glad. Yeah. I'm so glad. And the people look at it and I just go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
The world is not fair.
Well, nothing is fair. And if you can actually resolve that in your own brain, life's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because we all end up comparing ourselves
it turns out that is a universal human feature, which is there's all this happiness research that shows that, you know, how much money do you need to make to be happy? Well, it turns out $75,000 is the threshold. If you earn more than that per year, it doesn't make you more happy. Okay?
I'm with that. I understand that.
Hold on a second. There, except if you live in a neighborhood where, and you can be happy making $75,000, particularly if you live around people that make that much, but if you live in an area where people make more and they have more, you're very unhappy. Because in other words, when we're exposed to people that have more, it makes us unhappy. No matter what. No matter what. So that's just a universal human thing. That if
it works in the inversion, though, too, because I met a guy, comedian guy, who doesn't have the income I have that lives in my neighborhood. It made me feel all right.
That's the point.
It's kind of schadenfreude-y.
Kind of evens out. Everything's even.
Did you guys know each other before today?
We've met a few times.
Yeah.
Where? I wasn't aware of that. I don't think I knew.
San Francisco Jacks. Just kidding. Sorry I said that.
Mitchell Brothers. He knows who Mitchell Brothers is. You don't.
Don't know.
Do you know what the San Francisco Jacks is?
No.
See?
It's a men's group where they have... I'm sorry I brought this up. God.
Okay, good.
It's a masturbatory club.
Don't go further with it. All right, I don't need any more.
San Francisco just always represents sex, doesn't it?
Gay sex.
Seems like it.
No, heterosexual sex, too.
Oh, yeah,
well, it's two girls is gay. Okay.
It is?
Anyways. So... This is getting weird fast. So, Mike, what's going on? How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
I'm doing
working
pretty well.
Working on the movie yet?
I'm working on a bunch of stuff.
Good.
Little bits at a time. Moving forward slightly.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's huge.
Not as much as I'd like to, but nothing's ever going to be as much as I'd like to.
I discussed with him a book idea I had. I don't really want to talk about it. It's a good idea, right?
It's a great idea.
Well, yeah, I met with Judith Regan, and she wants to turn it into like almost like a Little Prince style little...
Oh, the fold-out
parable,
books?
Like
oh,
a
cool.
Parable fold-out kind of thing.
My first thought is that sounds easier. Good idea.
Good idea. Easy.
It does sound easier, but she...
She thought it should be a photo book.
No, but listen, she didn't build it off the fact that it's easier. In fact, I need like a science fiction writer to help me flush this out. But it was the fact that she goes, do you know what the number one selling category of books are in 2015? Any idea?
Children's.
No. Adult coloring books.
Oh, I know. That's huge.
How is that possible?
Oh, no. It's huge.
By a large
adult
margin.
Adult coloring? I've never even seen
so
oh,
her
I've
head.
Seen, I've seen millions of them.
So her head is in this sort of, we need to kind of creatively, people aren't reading books the way they should, so you got to kind of creatively hook them, which I think is a great idea. It needs to be sort of gifty.
Coloring.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but it'll
now
be the story.
You're marketing a book.
But
I
listen,
said
but
as
listen
a
the
joke.
Story has to be, the story has got, I've got a great story in my mind, and I will give you a hint. It flies off of my philosophical thought experiments that I always give my patients about the brain of the vat.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great idea.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Listen to this about a book. So I did a book. Becky helped me get this book out. I just finished it. Meeting with the people in New York. It's come out, whatever. Everything's good. And the girl goes, the editor, the wonderful girl that ran it. She goes, you got a second book that you're thinking about? And I said, I was like, if I ever wrote another book, it'd be called Rehab, Don't Go. And she sat up and went, are you joking?
Yeah, I want to hear
and
that.
And I was like, I guess I'm not joking.
Yeah, people would want to hear that.
Rehab, don't
listen,
go.
Mike Catherwood just sent me a Facebook post to some neuroscientist.
Yes, the Vice article.
Right, yeah, the Vice article, exactly. And my thing was...
Well, what is it?
You can't agree
on something that you guys both know about.
Models of addiction are bullshit and treatment is bullshit. And it's like, first of all, if there were not an internet, this guy would never, ever hear this opinion. I'm glad there are opinions like that out there because it challenges the people that do the work and science got to always move forward. But he has no clinical.
He says he's a neuroscientist.
I know, but he's not a clinician. He doesn't have any idea.
He's never interfaced with addicts. No. I just found it interesting that it's Vice that really blasted that everywhere. And I'm expecting a call about the head of Vice sooner or later.
But I will. Well, that's why he's defending fill in the blank.
Yeah, type of anti.
Right. But whatever, that's fine.
You got friends that drink and take drugs, and they're always attacking AA.
Yeah.
They're the next ones that are going to be in AA.
Probably. I was. I hated it. I was so proud of myself for the stuff that I came up with to avoid it. I told my boss once, like 25 years ago, I go, listen, this, and I thought I was genius. I went, holding my hands up, I went, here's you, here's me. You fucked up your life, so you're down here. I never fucked it up because I can handle my hooch. And just because you got clean doesn't make you above me. You're still down here and I'm still up here.
Because you didn't have to go to
Because I'm still handling it fine.
I'm still better.
And I really felt that way.
I know that feeling.
Really?
I still go to meetings.
That's an antisocial.
I still go to meetings and think I'm not these people. I don't have this problem.
Yeah.
Well, for people that don't know Mike Carr, let's describe who he is. Mike is... We've worked at the comedy clubs for years.
Transsexual.
He is.
Don't insult that.
He's admired.
Was that the bad word?
I don't know what the common vernacular is.
Listen, what? Oh.
What are you supposed to say?
Transgender. Typically. Transsexual means you've had your body altered in some way. I just learned this the other day. And transgender means you identify your gender as different than that.
What is somebody who cross-dresses?
That's cross-dressing.
Okay. What if I get my penis caught in machinery and it rips it off?
Then you have some choices to make.
Were you guys upset by Caitlyn Jenner winning Woman of the Year when there's women out there struggling?
I wasn't
because...
And then
because this dude who just decides he's a chick, now he's the Woman of the Year.
They got a PR. They're trying to sell tables.
Magazines. Yeah, they're trying to sell magazines. And it was important.
But don't you think that was
deflating
to women?
I thought it was at a fundraiser.
No.
Can I pop in here?
Yeah. My wife, Susan.
I was mad.
What do you know?
Because I'm a privileged white woman.
Right. She was saying that women can't even get their awards for themselves.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
I want to be the privileged white woman here, okay?
Yeah, go ahead. What's your opinion? Privileged white lady.
She's a privileged transgender.
I see.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Right? Wow, the categories are endless. Ugh.
Do you put it behind? Do you think there's a possibility this could all be for press?
What?
Like the whole sex change?
You know, you're not the first person to raise that to me. I think you said that too. He became so enamored with the women he was living around, he just had to be like them. He wanted to be like them. Look at
the rest of the Kardashian men. They're not doing so great.
They do bad things to men.
I'm sorry. I don't want to bash Kardashians, but still.
No, yeah, listen. I've been backing Khloe, by the way. I think you and I talked about this on one of our podcasts, that she's been handling the Lamar thing well, as good as you possibly can. And people were bashing her. That is a horrible situation.
Well, that's another thing that they're bashing us for Scott, and it's just a bashing.
They're bashing us for Scott?
Oh, I'm sure it'll come.
I haven't
Well, lucky Scott. He wasn't on Celebrity Rehab, I can tell you that.
I haven't dealt with Scott in 20 years.
I know.
I wish I could.
But we talked about it now, and it's inappropriate or whatever.
It's
I'm
weird
so
how you guys get in
rules.
Trouble. You guys get in trouble for other people's
other
decisions.
People, yeah, other people killing themselves.
Listen, I get in trouble for my peers' care of patients.
Yeah. Yeah,
people blame me.
You know,
for that.
I always
Jeff Conway, who that whole team that fucked him up, right?
Yeah,
multiple teams.
Them.
they kept going back to these people.
The surgery, yeah.
We kept fighting to get him back into...
We were there one time at his house trying to help him and get him back into treatment. Yeah. And the Scientology people that John Travolta sent over were there too. And they were waiting to talk to him.
And if you remember...
It was the weirdest thing.
If you remember...
And I looked at one of the Scientology people and I said, it's only going to be a few more minutes. But I don't think he's going with us.
But if you remember, I was like, I don't care. I don't care who... Get him. If you guys get him, good. Get him out of this thing he's in.
First dibs because we were there first, and then he wouldn't go with us, so then they stepped in.
And then they found out he didn't have any money, and you saw their van peeling away.
He didn't go with them, and then he went and got another surgery.
Yeah, ended up in a nursing home.
Yeah, here's the interesting thing, though. Remember what Dr. Conrad Murray said when the shit really hit the fan? He goes, I'm just the last doctor standing. That's what he said. He was quoted as saying that.
Yeah.
Meaning, listen, people have been prescribing him propofol for 15 years. And at the end, whoever's the last doctor standing...
There's probably some truth to that.
The last doctor standing interfacing with an addict is going to get the blame.
Why weren't the surgeons blamed? Why weren't the people prescribing the opiates?
Because they're doing something that all Americans need.
I'm just saying. So let's start. Mike Carano is a friend of mine. He is, just the way Bob knows all the musicians on Earth, Mike knows all the comedians on Earth. And they admire him and his comedic talent, his writing talent. And Mike's been inspired to write some movies and some maybe television. And how's that going?
Did you just make that up?
No, you
I've been inspired
and I
to write that. Some television.
Well, I don't know if you said you have multiple projects going, so I thought, maybe.
And I have a book too, but I haven't pitched it or written it or even considered it. And I don't read, so.
You don't have to read to write a book. Trust me.
No, of course, because mine's a coloring book.
And cha-ching.
It's going to be great. I swear to God, I'm still baffled. I've never heard this.
I neither.
No, they're huge. People, because I just went to New York and all around, I had an album come out. People sit on planes and do it.
It's so bizarre.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and they've been around forever. Yeah. You know, like those colored pencils.
Yes.
And they just do it, these flowers. Wow. And
there's no story, or there is a story?
I don't know.
There's themes. Outer space, Buddhist lotuses. There's all kinds of themes. Think of a theme of one.
My thing is that life is too short.
Dead comedians.
Oh,
that's a pleasant coloring book.
He's
not the right shade of green. I saw that guy in a casket. He was way worse than that.
Did I see you with Amy Schumer last night?
I saw Amy Schumer.
What the fuck did you tell me about that?
Because it was a private show.
Like I said, what the fuck did you tell me about that?
It was very Drew's dander up.
It was a corporate that was one of these insane.
Come on.
It was
why if you're in the comedy
people.
Realm, so I always have to defend why rock musicians die.
Yeah.
I don't think they die at any higher a rate than the general public of addiction. That's just more public, right? I think comedians die at a higher rate.
Oh, I've known a lot of comics that
died. There's so many comics that are dead. Yeah. It's such a weird, sad life. Somehow.
The musician one, though,
Jimmy Page and Keith Richards are still alive.
Yeah, but I'm not going to disagree with you, but. By and large, being on the road makes it so much easier just to want to get fucked up all the time.
Well, you have to work seven shows in 4 days in a bar.
Hey, let me just say, I did a podcast yesterday, or I recorded one yesterday. You'll be able to see soon at drdew.com with Bobcat Goldthwait. By the way, that one was sponsored by...
He didn't die. That was amazing.
Yeah, but he got sober when he was
19.
12?
Or, 19. Oh, okay. My friends at In Control Medical, who made the Apex M, kindly sponsored that one. And you have to get to my website so I can explain to you what that is. And you'll hear that intro into that particular
podcast. So he was sober
podcast.
When he was seeming like he's crazy?
Yes, completely. But here's the
bipolar,
deal.
Bipolar, then.
He did that documentary about Barry Crimmins.
Yeah.
And I was deeply moved talking to Bobcat about this. I guess the reason I bring it up was... His best friend was Robin Williams, and he was upset that people were saying Robin killed himself because he was depressed. You know, it's now come out that he had Lewy body dementia, right?
Yeah.
So, well, his wife has gone to like a little media tour. No one heard it apparently, because I've been talking to people. They're like, really? I thought he was just depressed. Yeah, he was depressed. And this was Bobcat's point. Bobcat, like, look, we're comedians. We wake up depressed every day.
Yeah.
Robin was depressed.
Yeah.
But he's no more depressed than the day he killed himself than he'd always been. But he had this horrible neurodegenerative disease that really made him impulsive and, you know, think strange things and do strange things.
Do you think that was from the heart surgery?
No, he had Lewy body dementia. It's just one of those unfortunate things. It's just like getting Alzheimer's.
But
just
what's the connection between heart surgery and depression?
Massive. And he even talked about it. If you see some of the footage of him after his heart surgery, he said afterwards he felt so vulnerable having been open, and it made his depression worse. You know, he had multiple risk factors for suicide, right? He was a middle-aged male, previous depression, addict with a little slip recently, Parkinson's, which turned out to be Lewy body dementia, which Parkinson's is a part of. And the previous depression. And so, you know, that's a marked
So
man.
Is it safe to say that comedians usually suffer from depression that gets them to want to be a comedian so that it's all laughter
Absolutely.
And whatever?
Absolutely.
Right? Musicians, it's low self-esteem. That if I get up there and I write a song and people like me, then I'll feel better.
So for comedians, the laughter is sort of the love, and for musicians, adulation is the
yes.
love. That's why all the you don't see people reaching out to touch comedians, right?
Well, they would.
Now you do.
Well, every
Kevin
comic,
Hart, they do.
Every yeah. comic would rather be a rock star. They'd trade it in a heartbeat. Every
I,
single
I agree
person.
With that. It's weird when you think.
You know
that,
what's weird? Every entertainment person would rather be a rock star.
Yeah.
No. Every entertainment person.
Movie actors.
But listen, they'd all rather be something than what they are.
I think it all leads back to Rockstar.
It does. Remember the food chain that Dennis Rodman told us that sports heroes are at the top?
No, listen. Dennis Rodman
told us how the world works.
He goes, he was sitting to Bob and my right. I will never forget this. Remember
this
where he was sitting?
This is the heaviest thing.
Yeah.
I think about it every 3 days.
Yeah, listen to this. He's sitting there. He's reading a book all through group. I don't know what book he was reading. I mean, it was something like some, it might even been some recovery material, but he's reading. And I finally go over to him and I go, hey man, you know, just pay attention here in group.
It's
you'll get
so
something
rude
out of it.
To your peers,
yeah,
it's right?
your peers. It's not okay for them to have your face in a book like that. And he looks at me and he goes, and he said something like, Doc, you know, Doctor, you and I'll have a relationship one day. We'll forge one. But here's something you got to understand. This is the way the world is.
I'm a sports hero.
No. He goes, the way the world is configured is as follows. There's God, and he held his hand up here. And he goes, and then he moved his hand down
just
about an
down
inch.
Nudge.
Yeah,
just
and he goes,
nudge.
And then there's professional athletes, and that's how the world works. And
maybe
you need to understand
and
that.
And actors and politicians.
I don't
and
remember,
everyone else is below
I,
that.
I don't remember him saying anything else.
Well,
I was at that point.
I was
stunned.
Just so his philosophy is, and this is strange.
I was so stunned I couldn't think.
Working?
I was like, oh, this is gonna be hard.
Let's book a sports arena and see if Bruce Springsteen draws more than God.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is crazy. So he was basing it on how many presidents
you don't
of the
need to
United
preface it
States,
with this is crazy.
How many presidents of the United States have kissed his ass and act like teenage boys.
Yeah.
And that has a factor in it.
Yeah.
It was weird, but the world according to Dennis was
now he
really
found
something.
The dictator of North Korea to kiss his ass too.
Well, my experience from working on television shows is rock stars by far number one, athletes, then actors. Like as far as everyone
and that's
in
why
the studio.
Charlie Sheen kept always comparing himself to Keith Richards and Mick Jagger, not Marlon Brando. Yeah.
Right. And I think
right?
we had Charlie Sheen on the show and he got into a car accident on the way over.
He what?
It was a long time ago. This is the '90s.
What show?
Dennis Miller Live.
Oh yeah. He used to work for Dennis Miller.
Oh, there you go. Before the
meltdown.
Gender change.
Dennis
well,
Miller.
No, he didn't gender change, but it's like going from liberal to
conservative.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I used to love him.
So
because
I.
You know what he truly was in before the change, let's call it? He was a libertarian. He told the truth to both left and right.
No,
and then he just became right.
Yeah, you're right. Corolla did that same kind of weird
Somebody
stuff,
had to carve out space next to opposite Bill Maher, right?
Very similar.
That's true. Where do you put comedians then in that triumvirate?
Are they below actors? No, I think they're above.
They're above now.
Yeah,
I think
some
breakthrough. Listen, you guys, you're things are changing. Rock stars, if you're 30 or under, rock stars barely have meaning to you. DJs and comedians.
Yeah, DJs and comedians.
That makes me want to
imagine if you started
myself.
DJing and telling jokes.
I don't even know what DJs do.
You don't have to. You don't have
That's
to.
That's part of it.
They got classes.
Wait, I have a laptop, so I'm a DJ.
Yeah. You know what's so weird?
I've hit play before.
Every song you've ever known has a BPM.
Yeah.
Do you know this?
Yeah.
Like Eagles. There's an Eagles techno version of Hotel California. Yeah. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah. I think it's terrible. But listen, I think it's the worst.
You guys got to realize I've been in rock radio for 35 years, and so I've seen the evolution.
You're not a musician if you're a DJ.
But they would argue otherwise.
Yeah, of course they would.
Yeah, and the kids don't give a shit. They don't care what they're rock stars. Literally, the rock stars like, you know, well, in the olden times, they used to be rock stars. And they'll have some like historical kind of.
My older son, here's about the olden times. My older son actually had no time or place about past, but beyond like the 70s backwards. So he said, "Dad, when you would go to the nickel movies and see like Charlie Chaplin movies when you were little," he said that like at 11. I was like, "What are you talking about?"
When they invented the automobile, was it exciting in your little town when you were walking to the local fishing hole?
Oh, it was so great because there's no at 11, there's no time or place. Just there's I Love Lucy and Marx Brothers and Charlie Chaplin. And it's all the same.
There's got to be a huge downside to that because I remember a basketball player complaining that the younger players didn't care about the older legends. Didn't know anything about the history of the game, and they thought there was something missing. And I don't know if the only thing missing is having a soul. But no, I mean it, though. If you want to be a musician and you can't play an instrument or you can't... I'm not even saying technically proficient.
Right.
But you're not a musician.
You can't read music.
I mean, if you... No, I don't care about reading music.
Well,
if
play
you
play music.
Play music.
Like, finding loops does not make you a
musician.
What's
your favorite music?
Well, it's rock, but I mean, there's all different. You know, I love old country. I love old rock. 70s and 80s. 70s
Cat
mostly.
Stevens?
No, like Boy Lucinda Faye. Williams. Like
Lucinda.
You like always, you know, Lucinda.
I love all the metal from the 80s because that's when I was in high school.
But listen, Metallica. That's all old. That's,
all of it. Judas Priest, Scorpions.
That, to
all
them,
that, stuff.
That is like Glenn Miller and the big band.
It really is.
Yeah.
But I mean, my hero
from
which I always liked, but that seemed like olden times.
Yeah. But when I was like 5 years old, I would lay in bed and listen to the radio, and I remember specifically I Walked the Line coming on. Yeah. I was like five.
Where'd you live?
Tucson.
Oh, wow.
Tucson.
And then we moved to San Diego when I was like 8 or 9. And
was there a pawn shop in Tucson,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, talk.
I was just there a couple of days ago,
Dad
as a matter of fact.
Pawn shops.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love pawn shops.
Then we had a couple of years in a cult, but here's the thing is...
No, tell the story. Wait. It happened.
But I vividly remember Johnny Cash and Frank Sinatra, and it's just stuck in my head forever. And then I was obsessed with Johnny Cash and Frank Sinatra for my entire life.
That was new music then.
No.
Not Sinatra, but the
Cash.
No,
the late...
Johnny Cash?
The 70s? That
wasn't
new.
He was still putting out music in the 70s. Johnny Cash?
He was putting out music until he died. But
I know,
mean,
but that's Johnny Cash.
He's talking about Walk
waves.
The Line.
Yeah, that's like 60s.
That's 69 or something.
But first time I saw, I mean, one of the first things I did when I got a driver's license was go see Johnny Cash. Probably saw him 20 times after that.
Good for you. That's cool.
I was obsessed.
Yeah. But let's talk about the cult. This is a good story.
And then guess what? When I met him, drunk.
I
made an asshole of myself.
You were drunk,
he
not
didn't
him.
He didn't find me humorous in the least.
You were drunk, not him.
He was on pills.
Yeah, he might have been drunk. I don't know. The cult is not that great of a story.
It's
anymore.
A great story. Are you kidding
me? Was there
me?
Sex involved in it?
No.
Eventually,
then it's not that great.
Eventually
there
there would have been, but we were kids. We were little kids.
And
we were kind of out of the loop.
They weren't
hot
chicks.
Was it called?
It was called Bible Speaks, and it was in Lake Elsinore, and we lived in a military academy for 2 years. 5 people in one room.
Did the parents have to not parent their children and all kinds of rules?
There wasn't any rules like that. It was just total disregard. Like, we were 100% on our own 24/7.
The kids.
Wow.
And but they were in sort of a compound, so they didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Did you look out for each other, the kids?
I don't think we even thought about that. I think we were just kind of in a daze, like, what are we doing here?
And the parents did what? Read the Bible?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And there was a leader, of course.
Yeah. You ever notice how many books there are that people refer to? And you and I are in a super secret society where they always say, the book, the book.
Yeah.
And then and when you were childhood, it was the book, the book. There's a lot of books that people say is the book.
That's a human thing.
Now it's the...
Listen, so it is written, so it shall be done.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that funny? And then there's the book that people refer to all the time.
Which one's that now?
The Bible.
I know, that's the one I'm talking about.
But I think you're talking about the big book.
The big book, and then there's the Quran now, the book. Then there's the Torah. And then when I was first in AA in the 80s, there was the book that everyone was talking about, not the big one.
What was it?
They're talking about
Living
Course
Siegel?
In Miracles by Marianne Williamson.
Well, then
or Bradshaw's Healing the Child Within, then Melody Beattie's Codependent No More,
which still is,
then that, this book, then that book. Fuck books. They're all good.
Well, yeah.
But they're all good. Read them all. But don't just read one.
Interesting in that.
Or take my view and read none of them.
but they're more carefully executed, right, and structured, and they exist through time. And so they freeze time. And I think that's what gives them a little bit of their power, right?
You think documentaries will be referred to like that?
The Doc?
No,
see the doc.
No, it's all in the doc. It's all in the doc.
There's something about it better.
That sounds way better.
That does sound better. Let's try to start a movement of that. I haven't read the book, but I've seen the doc. Have you seen the doc?
I don't think so, because it's a different experience writing and reading. I think it's a very uniquely interesting human experience that just doesn't exist in any other way. I think the closest thing to it is listening to a carefully thought out lecture. Mm. Particularly for people that learn audio wise, like me, I learned that way very well.
It's hard to manipulate in book form. It's easy in film.
Yeah,
I can see. Like, did you see the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar documentary?
No,
he produced it.
Yeah.
I love Cap. He's my favorite basketball player of all time. But in fact,
Cap.
That's what they call. That's what us intimates call him. Cap. That's what Magic calls him. So, Captain.
That's
the Captain.
Oh.
So.
That was some acronym for
Kareem
Abdul
Babar. No. But he produced this thing, and it just glosses over. And then a bunch of children were murdered in my house, and then I moved to Los Angeles.
What happened?
And it's just like, so you.
What happened?
He was backing this offshoot of Nation of Islam, and Farrakhan was after Kareem's leader. And Kareem bought this house to have the movement be based in. They went, rumor has it that somebody went to that house to kill that leader, and he wasn't there, but he killed everyone in the house, and Kareem owned
Where
the
was
house.
This?
In Cleveland or Milwaukee.
When?
I never even
heard about
this.
In the early 70s.
Well, he was a Milwaukee player, so it must
It's why he wanted to get the fuck to L.A.
Oh.
So I think this in-depth documentary that he's producing, he's going to write, lay it on the line, just goes, and then that happened, and then I was disillusioned, and so documentaries can be so manipulative and slippery, whereas
know
what I mean, if you did that in a book, you'd just be like, what the fuck happened there?
Yeah the editor wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah.
Alright, listen, we got to take a quick break. Back with more of Mike Carano, Bob Forrest, myself, and This Life. Hey, welcome back to This Life. Remind everybody, Bob and I are trying to get this thing to thrive, and we need your support. It has its own website and Twitter handle. You can click through the Amazon banner. Also, check out drdrew.com, where you can find Bob's music. You can find some of the books we've been talking about, a lot of the books we've been talking about. You'll find out about the Apex M and the In Control people. Please check that out if you're a older female with issues of incontinence. That's what it's designed to help.
Go into the deep internet. Just go to drdrew.com and just start exploring.
Just go to the website. I mentioned the Bobcat podcast a few minutes ago.
I want to listen to that.
It was really something. It was really. I mean, I was trying to get to it. I don't have his emails. I was trying to get it this morning from his people because I want to just tell him how moved I was by all that. And this movie, shit. Somebody help me. The movie about Barry Crimmins. Can you look it up online while you're doing this? Barry Crimmins that Bobcat put out.
Call Me Lucky.
Call Me Lucky. Have you seen it?
Of course.
It's intense.
I sat on Bob's couch and watched it right next to him on a laptop.
It was insane, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, relax. We'll get the email. Don't give out the email address. We'll get it.
I love Shakes the Clown.
She was Susan was a production assistant on Shakes the Clown.
I love that movie.
Really? Yes. I told Bob that yesterday. He was like, oh, my God.
I love that movie.
That's great.
I said she would come home. She was at UCLA in college, and it was like part of her like internship or something. And she'd come home, and she'd go, yeah, this guy does a movie about a clown. He just keeps vomiting all over the place.
That's great.
I didn't go. No, I didn't go to the premiere. All right. So, yeah. So...
I drove around the country with Bob for like 2 weeks.
Fun?
No. It was an honor that he asked me to go with him, and I love being around Bob, but I don't like traveling, and I don't like being away. Because he caught me walking around the hotel at like 6 in the morning, and he's like, are you having fun? I went, no, I'm having a panic attack. I feel like I need to go home.
What were you guys doing?
He was doing shows, and I was shooting it all. Oh, and we were making a documentary.
Mike did a documentary about Burt Reynolds' wax figure from the Wax Museum here in Hollywood.
Oh, I love
it. It wasn't
Burt
really
Reynolds.
About that. My friends and I are obsessed with the 70s.
Oh, we did it. Bob and I do a little stand-up thing, not stand-up, a show that we've done at stand-up clubs where we fight about the 70s.
But
I hate the
like
70s.
I have
you love the
my
70s.
Entire place is all, I have like hate the entire the Bridge of the Enterprise in my living room.
Oh
like
my God.
Three-dimensional, like the captain's chairs, everything. And I have all the 70s movie posters, all the toys I rebought from the 70s, and my
eBay.
Friends are
eBay.
Obsessed with Burt Reynolds to
wait
the point where they've got close to 1,000 Burt Reynolds items.
Okay,
have you been
on.
To the Playhouse
hold
and
on.
Seen him do his play in Florida?
Seen him? No, in Jupiter.
Juno,
no.
In Jupiter, yeah.
Hold a second. Where can people see 5 minutes with Mike, tour of your house?
YouTube. I think it's, YouTube episode one. Or on my website.
Episode one, 5 minutes with Mike?
Yeah.
5 minutes with Mike. And you'll see a tour of his house with all the toys.
I talked Burt into letting us drive his wax figure from the wax museum that went out of business across the country.
Oh, my God. You know Barry Sobel then?
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. There's an interesting guy.
Yeah, I just ran into him in front of an ice cream place that we went to like probably 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I love him. He calls me randomly trying to help people.
Is he doing all right?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
But he takes that service thing crazily.
Yeah.
Like he just wants to save people.
That's weird because I need to do it more.
So no, hang on, maybe
you can't save anybody. You're
but
just
you
trying to help.
I don't. You know what? I should talk to you about that because I have many friends that call me and go, "I'm trying to quit drinking and stuff." And I go, "Well, you can come to a meeting with me, or you can do this, do that."
That's it.
And they're like, "I don't know. Maybe after Coachella." I'm serious. I got that one. Well, Christmas is coming up. After I'll call you after Christmas. I don't know what to tell people. I don't even know where to begin.
Don't even bother with them. You know who taught me that was Adam Goldstein, DJ AM, who is now dead of his condition because of my peers, because a doctor told him, why do you hang out with those people that try to brainwash you? Take these pills I've given you.
Mm.
Dead 2 weeks later. And he always said, he goes, I will go to the mat. I will go to the mat for somebody that's motivated. But if they show the least bit of bullshit, have at it. Enjoy.
But isn't that kind of a...
Is that what soured you?
Soured me?
Yeah, about trying to help.
No, I want to help. I don't know how to do it yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to find ways to be of service, and I don't really know what it is, and I just can't chalk up listening to people.
That's it.
That's the
but I want to go out and do things.
There's a thing called active listening that you probably know from being a comedian. So
I'm
you
not
just
a
say, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are.
But here's the thing.
And say, well, I don't know. What do you think? And then they already have their own answer.
Yeah.
They're either not going to do it or they're going to do it.
I think we're going to be working together on something coming up.
There you go.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Comedy Cares.
Oh, right.
I want to be part
you know
of
about
this.
That?
Sounds good.
Every time somebody dies, we're going to start Comedy Cares.
Good. So it's going to be the response
modeled
to
after MAP.
Music Cares.
After MAP.
Yeah. Music Cares was on Today's show yesterday, if you saw that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But Music Cares is so big now.
I know. Well, that's what you want Comedy Cares to be. It'd be great.
No, we want it more grassroots. We want it like a drop-in center like MAP was. And the problem was I want Andy to run it. But
Andy Dick?
Well, him to be there.
I would run it. I was already told I'm running it, but I don't know if that's true or not.
You want to run it?
I was told that already.
Okay.
You're running
by Max?
It.
By Max?
No, by Dave.
Okay. Max and Dave are doing it. And then the idea is...
Sounds
that,
good.
Well,
I had this delusion that it was going to turn into the Red Cross, like Elizabeth Dole pulling down $300,000 a year working for a nonprofit. I'm like, yeah, I'll do this completely.
No, it's going to be good.
It's going to be free. It's going to be free.
Well, no, but here's the thing. It's not that hard. And comedy has, as you know, has after SAG insurance, it's just shit.
No.
It's shit for,
no one
for addiction.
Insurance. Oh.
For addiction, it's shit.
But a lot of them don't even have insurance.
Most comics don't have insurance. Yeah.
Well, some that I've known have. And that what's happened is most comedians have made records, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get them through Music Cares because they have a recording album.
Oh,
that's a good
right?
idea. That's a great
but
idea.
But it's only, Music Cares getting tired of that shit.
But let's talk about two
of our things. Can I get on there?
Two things I want to get into. I want to get into the 70s thing.
Yeah.
Because it still just gets me.
I lived in the 70s. I lost my virginity in the 70s.
Likewise. And it was horrible. 70s was
horrible. Why is that a monumental point for people?
What?
Yeah. Lost your virginity.
I was thinking that the other day. I heard a female. Because
nothing really changes.
Right. It's. I think women have. I heard a woman. I forget who it was. Somebody very good speaker. And she said, you know, it's such a lovely moment. You never forget it. And I thought, Nah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mine
really.
Was very strange because it was, I thought it was with someone of my innocence and not knowing how to do it type situation. And then once it started happening, that was pretty obvious that that was not the case.
Uh-oh.
And you're just sitting there going, oh my God, how does she know all this
stuff? You're like, Pamela DeBar, I thought you were a virgin. What the heck?
Oh, the '70s, baby.
But I pointed out to him that Penn Station to me is the poster child for how fucked up the '70s were. Penn Station was a beautiful edifice, just like Grand Central Station, and we tore it down and put up that piece of shit Madison Square Garden building.
I agree with you on all of your facts, but I have a delusion of the '70s as being this wonderful.
You were in a cult during the '70s,
driving around in a cool van.
I was in a van, the Blue Quest. That's the Blue Quest, baby.
Did you like the '70s?
I loved the '70s because of music, but the whole, the parents. Well, see, I have a sister mom. I don't know without take a whole.
I know the story.
To explain. Okay,
so do our listeners know the street. Do our listeners know the story?
Yeah, but give it a couple cents.
You and Sun Yi could have a good conversation.
It was a typical story where a girl gets pregnant at 14, parents adopt the kid. It happened a lot in middle-class America.
So
in
your grandparents
early
60s. Were actually, you thought
I thought
parents.
They were my parents and whatever.
But your sister
but
was
she
your
lived
parent.
Up the street with her husband, and me and these two friends of mine heard a bunch of commotion in their pool. So we were out. We were all saying we're staying at other people's houses, and we were just out.
Yeah.
You know, it was like 10 o'clock
you
at night.
Do that, then.
And we peeked over my sister mom's fence, and they were swinging with other neighbors. And that event is still etched.
Wait, who was?
Mind.
Who was?
Yeah.
My sister mom, her husband, the neighbors. There was like three couples all in the pool with different partners.
Whoa.
And my two friends' parents were there.
Oh,
that's the 70s, baby.
That's right.
What happened to those guys? They're dead of addiction.
Sure. I lost contact with
That's him. Horrible.
But I remember us peeking over and really, you know, you're like 13. You're like, you're not registering what's going on. You think you're just spying. And then it's, oh my God.
How long did you watch for?
Like an hour.
I knew it.
We would duck down and we would walk around the corner and then we'd go back.
Yeah, you were 13.
And
there's
it was
no way you're not looking.
It's their parents, though.
I know. Wow. But that's not what they were looking at, trust me. But
that's
it still was equally as traumatizing every time they tried to look past their parents. But that's how fucked up the '70s were. Again, no appreciation for the impact of their behavior at all.
Well, the freedom,
at all.
The idea
whenever
of moving
hear,
to the suburbs and not having to watch your kids also. That was the
Bob,
other
whenever
thing.
Whenever you hear people say, we now have it figured out, this is how human behavior, just realize you're nearer to the apocalypse.
Free sex.
Whatever it is, like, hey man, it's been years and years of repression. Humanity should be released. As soon as they say that, just fucking know you're one inch closer to the apocalypse. It's because
that's a happy thought.
No, I'm
all
not
right,
kidding.
I'm gonna leave
just because people are
wall.
Swinging
no,
or
no, no.
close to the
listen,
end.
I don't care that they're swinging. It was that the culture accepted the pronouncement that, oh man, this is the way it ought to be. That forget what humans have known forever. This is the way it ought to be.
So are you
that's
into the
equation.
Sexuality of the '70s? The swinging and
I was
the,
a little kid
and
I
the
didn't
bushes
really think
and
about
the hair
it.
Under the arms. I like the hair under the arms.
I have a question about the I don't know how I feel about it.
Bushes and the hair under the arms.
Well, Patti Smith on that album cover. Yeah. That was the first
Patti
time
Smith.
I saw it and I was like,
Oh
my God.
Yep.
Oh my God. Girls have hair under their arms too. Oh my God. I don't know why.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Right.
Boy, that was arousing.
I just found out that they
It
pee.
Was arousing.
Here's what I want to know about swinging. Was the purpose of swinging that I can pacify my desire for a new partner and still stay in my relationship?
Yes. What I think swinging was people will...
Was? Let's not use the past tense. Right.
No, but...
You won't believe what they did. There was a thing called a three-way. Oh, I almost threw up in my mouth saying it.
No, but listen... I think then
probably from a loss of blood from
now,
the erection.
Now it's just sex addicts acting out, right?
Yeah,
now
yeah.
That's what it is. Whatever.
That's okay. Anything goes.
You're right. But then it was, oh shit, I could have had sex with other people before I got married. God damn it. Now what do I
gotta
do? Got
to change the rules.
Now what do I do? Well, I got to get this out of me. And so here's how we're going to do this. And you still hear that bullshit going on, that kind of stuff under a different umbrella.
Can I ask this about sex with other partners when you're in a relationship? Is a primary drive of doing that the fact to feel validated as opposed to just an orgasm? Because it seems to me that if I'm in a relationship and I really want to have sex with other people and I masturbate, that desire is 100% gone. I've concluded, in my extensive study. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not still going, oh, now I want to go find someone else to
have. The problem is it comes back an hour later. That's the problem.
Just 90% satisfied. But
life's a nightmare.
Did you see the movie I Am Curious?
No.
Do you know that 70s movie?
No.
I'm Curious Yellow.
I Am Curious Yellow, yeah. I have that poster on my wall.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love the
70s,
another
too. Another bullshit.
I do love the
70s. It's mostly sex stuff about the 70s.
It's also
Russ
the...
Meyer
I'm not into Burt Reynolds.
What?
Russ Meyer. Does he know... You know Russ Meyer is?
Nothing sexier than Burt Reynolds.
Do you know, I'm Curious Yellow and the Portnoy's Complaint.
Yeah, and the one Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice.
Oh, yeah.
These were horrific. Great,
that's a famous movie.
I know, they all three were. They all three.
I Am Curious was the first European movie X-rated.
I'm Curious.
Okay.
I have the poster I bought on eBay and had framed in
my
staircase.
Because the yellow was in a different color. You must have thought it was not part of the name. It was I Am Curious.
That's
yellow.
Way cooler than my giant Doberman gang three sheet.
So you're more into the masculine side of that whole thing. The Burt
Not
Reynolds.
Necessarily, because I think I just loved, you know, I loved my nostalgic childhood. However, looking back on it,
it was
a ridiculous.
Shitty childhood.
I know, but in my head, it's like going
but
to Disneyland.
But on television, it was way better.
Yeah.
You know, I go to Disneyland
Partridge
for
Family,
happy
Lisa Day.
Susan Day. Yeah. Right.
How dare you?
Okay, Susan Day was striking.
Striking?
Like when you see pictures of her.
He has a real emotional response to this 70s
scene. Yeah, I know. But
what was wrong with the 80s?
I don't think anything was wrong with the 80s except
for... Wasn't as good as the 70s.
I mean, I was in high school in the 80s.
1,000% better.
I look back at those photos and stuff.
High school's never
happy. They're not attractive to me. Like, I think girls in the 60s were at their most attractive.
Anita Ekberg.
I don't know who that is.
Wow. See, I'm a Euro type.
Yeah.
So, but I also had a deep antisocial streak. So anything that was mainstream, I rejected.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And but except for I did love Smoking the Bandit.
Of course. How can you not?
Who didn't?
Me.
Remember going to quad theaters and going from one movie to the other to the other to the other all day long?
Remember
there was
when
no
you
rules
could
stay? Of you can't go in here.
Remember
if
when
you're
you could
dumb
stay?
Enough to want to sit here all day? Go ahead, kid.
Yeah. I miss the days of I love that movie. I'm just going to sit in my seat and they're just going to clean around me and I'm going to watch it again. Or I miss the days of camping out in front of the sports arena for concert tickets.
Oh, I used to do
and
that
actually
too.
Getting
May
good
Company,
tickets.
May Company on Fairfax and Wilshire, and we'd get paid to stand in line and wait for like dumb Rolling Stones tickets.
Hey, did you have an emotional?
Buy weed and Black Beauties.
Did you have any weird emotions at that Tower Records party?
Yeah, it was.
Describe people what that is.
They rebuilt the Tower Records.
We saw each other at a party.
Yeah, there was a thing at Tower Records. They rebuilt it, and I wasn't going. I just was at a book signing across the street.
Oh, really?
And I saw it, and I was like, "It's the Tower Records."
Yeah. Yeah,
and
it's been dismantled. They put it back up as though it were the original store, just for one.
And they had records in there that you could take all the records you wanted.
Well,
take them.
I saw someone get busted with 10, and they said you can only take 2.
Oh, really? I took like 6.
Well,
that's you.
You're you.
But one was Rachmaninoff. Nobody wants that.
My son would.
The
but anyway,
and the weird, creepy thing was Eagles of Death Metal was the band that played, and then like a week later, the French stuff happened.
Wow, you know, he was on Loveline
right before
the day.
Remember
before.
After on that Tower Records days when I was on Lovelines with you?
Oh, that's
right. I went from there down there. And I said I saw Eagles of Death Metal.
Wow.
So
I want to talk to what's the guy lead singer's name? I forget his name.
Jesse.
Jesse, I want to talk to you. Talk to him.
I'm going
you.
To Joshua Tree right now. I'm going to see Dave.
Yeah, he was in the paper this morning.
Dave was or Jesse?
Yeah, I think it was Dave. Because it was like, what a creative, weird place Joshua Tree is. Why are all the musicians out there?
Oh, is that the studio out there? They have a recording studio?
Yeah. Dave, the bearded guy in Queens, owns it.
Yeah. Mm. Cool.
He was the only guy that didn't get off the stage, by the way, during that whole
thing. Well, he's an only non-addict.
Yeah.
That's my thing. The other one guy's sober a long time. One guy, you know, philosophically, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The two addicts just saw what was happening and left immediately. The one non-addict stood there and like kind of puzzled, like, what the fuck's going on?
What is that?
Right? There's an attunement that addicts have. Like
it's not just an attunement. It's physical. I've done that. The cops are here. What should I do? 5 minutes.
Should I talk to the cops?
Hey, I'm going
to
walk over because they'll see I'm, you know.
Cool.
I'm cool.
Let's talk about the shooting and stuff a little bit, Sam. There was something. What else we promised we were going to talk about? Oh, something about you. Oh, your transsexual experience.
Oh, yeah.
Transvestite.
Oh, so I, you know, I was, the 80s were the greatest era for me.
Yeah.
70s was my observation decade. Yeah. The 80s, I put it into action.
Yeah.
So I'm in Cleveland. Chili Peppers are on tour. I was a roadie, and I was going to score coke. And I met some people downtown.
In Cleveland.
Cleveland. And
Cleveland was a lot different then, too.
I had Anthony's money, too. So it was like, you know, I had to get it and get back because he's taskmaster.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and we go to this bar, and we're kind of just making out, and I realize it's not a girl.
How'd you realize that?
There was stubble on.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Because it was kind of dark. It's a bar. I'm kind of drunk and whatever. Yeah. And
How'd you meet him?
Trying to find coke. I was asking the doorman at the bar, and then he said, oh, go talk to them. And so I went over this table, and I said, hey, what's going on? And they're like, you looking for something, honey? And I was like, yes, I am. And I was 22 years old.
It's amazing what courage needing to buy drugs gives young people.
Go up to complete strangers.
Yeah, they could not do that to get a date or a phone number. But to get drugs, no problem. Hey, super
way,
charming.
All
too.
Of my stories where I was out here and I just started making out with somebody all had drugs or alcohol involved. There's never when I'm sober. I just met this girl and started making out for no reason.
So things were getting hot and heavy, and I realized, oh my gosh, this is that one of those situations that we all now in the 21st century know, Caitlyn Jenner and blah. So, and I was pretty much just trying to wrap it up. Yeah. And Anthony walked in and goes, dude, where the fuck have you been? I'm looking for you everywhere. And I got my three transgender gal pals in a booth together. It looks like I'm having a party. He's like, oh my God, what are you doing? And he wrote about it in his book. So I didn't know because people don't tell you what they wrote about. I'm running a group at Los Encinas Hospital in the lockdown adolescent psych unit. And a kid goes, Bob, what's your last name? And I said, Forrest. And I held my badge out and he goes, you had sex with a transvestite in Cleveland.
Oh, he exaggerated the sex?
Well, no, but the kid did.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
By the way, Bob hasn't finished the story yet. We don't know where this is going.
Well,
by the way, the whole cross-dressing, transgender, transsex, I in one of my podcasts with Anne, I can't remember Anne's last name, Thomas, I think, and she's a transgender male to female, and she transsexual, and she really lays that out in detail in that podcast.
What is what, and
how do you know whether cross-dressing is somebody going towards transgender, and how do you know?
Back then, it was so archaic, the medications and the hormones.
It all went down as cross-dressing.
All I know is,
as a fetish back then.
With this situation that was so duly noted in Anthony Kiedis' book, Scar Tissue, you can pick it up on drdrew.com.
Yes.
There were real breasts involved.
Mm-hmm.
But that means they weren't hormones.
And there wasn't a lot of penis involved.
Hormones.
Yeah. So I'm just giving the details.
So what does that do for, that makes him a little less?
A little less what?
Less having
less
had
straight?
Sex with a trans. Yeah, a little
less. No.
Less not straight.
It was an extension of the 70s.
He didn't actively go, I need to find a dude to make out with.
Could happen.
It's all good.
I'm not judging even if he did. Yeah. I don't know. What is that? What am I supposed to be? I thought this was the homophobe podcast.
Well, listen, we have not talked about the shootings in San Bernardino very much, and it's really on my mind all the time. It bothers me, and I just wonder what you guys think about that.
Here's what I've learned, because you got to sort through all the emotional bullshit and opinions and just try to get facts that are actual facts. One is she posted on Facebook her dedication to ISIS on Facebook in the American internet, whatever, on the above board internet. Nobody picked up on it. Number two, they were in their garages for hours dressed in Muslim garb, with pipes and making things for hours, and
all
the neighbors noticed it.
Well, the neighbors were afraid to speak up. Did you hear that?
Okay.
I think that's the real question is who, because I think we want someone to blame.
Didn't you hear what the neighbors
said? The dead people.
I don't want to blame the neighbors, but I want us all to understand how this evolves, right? Then the third
fact.
You
want us to profile more.
The third fact that's so interesting to me is how quickly we are to praise police and law enforcement.
Yeah.
When the shooters were there, they got there and they got away.
Yeah.
When are they held accountable for fucking up?
For being buffoons. Yeah. No, this happens all the time. Due to police work, and then you find out the actual story. It was the same thing with that girl that was in the military. Remember like 10 years ago, and they taught, she was captured in Afghanistan, and they were like, she fought off and maybe killed 20 insurgents. And that turns out she was unconscious and they assaulted her and took her. And that story was completely fabricated, and she's this American hero.
Oh, right, right. She was on the cover of People magazine. And yeah, I remember that.
You know what? I don't, this is,
you know, she was blonde haired and blue eyed. Yeah, that's why they liked that story. Yeah. So you have these, you got to sort through the facts, and us as a people need the facts so we can hold people accountable.
But we have no
source. But we don't get the facts.
We have no source for the facts, because even the news, imagine what how skewered the news was in the 50s and 60s, where you had three networks and three people essentially telling you, here's the news, and you just took it as gospel.
The facts I know is they were there in 4 minutes. Fact.
That's good.
Shooters were there.
At the time?
Shooters got away. Right?
Not for long, though.
Hours and hours.
I think it's remarkable that they were able to find them at all. I mean, those, I thought they'd be in Barstow before anybody, you know, figured out what's going on. But Mexico after that.
But I think we need to cut to how do we fix it? Not who's to blame or this or that.
Well, I'm mad.
I don't think we do.
That the Attorney General gets up and first goes, my biggest concern, not your safety.
Is that people's feelings get hurt.
Yeah, people, anti-Muslim sentiments get expressed. Yeah. Okay. Yes, that's everyone's concern. It's not our biggest concern. Our biggest concern is our safety, number one. Number two, then the director of the FBI comes up and goes, well, it's not a cell. It's not a cell. That scares the shit out of me even more, because that means there are lots of single.
Yeah.
It's number like saying three. It's not a tumor, but there's cells all over your body.
Okay, so
that
Obama's
are
going for gun control. Gun
control.
He's
got a beard.
Going for gun control. I don't even listen to it anymore. But the fact is, you can be on a terrorist watch list, so you can't fly and still buy an assault rifle. Yeah.
I think
that's amazing.
How about rational?
That's an amazing.
I'm not anti-gun, but I'm for rational.
So you might blow up a plane, but you can certainly have an automatic weapon.
That's right. Whatever.
What do we do then? We just accept that this happens.
Yeah,
now
I do.
And then, and we
I
move
do.
On?
I accept that it's going to happen. I always know where an exit is. I'm always looking. I went and saw Public Image the other night. I knew where the exits were. I looked around. I'll survive. And if you think you're safe in this 21st century world, you're not. But you don't have to be paranoid. Do you understand?
We expect too much, right? Like, we expect to be safe, and we expect when something goes wrong, the government's going to fix it, and right?
Well, the island that we've been living on for the last 50 years has been an anomaly of human history, both the freedoms
and the
peace.
There's a lot of disgruntled, full of hate Americans.
I'm full of hate.
Tell
but you're
more.
Not going to go shoot.
No.
Tell me more.
No, but I'm... Okay,
hate or anger?
I drive around with road rage. I'm getting it under control. It's much, much better than it was 5 or 6 years ago. But I'm still filled with rage. I'm still angry all the time at people. I'm like, get out of my fucking way.
Is that
trying
irritability?
To lead my life.
Is that irritability from depression? Or is that...
It could be anything. I don't know. There's a lot of anxiety involved.
But there's a lot of opportunity in your life. There's a lot of... You can switch gears out of that pretty quickly,
yes,
probably.
But I drive around, and I'm lackadaisical. I'm not paying full attention when I'm driving. I mean, I don't get into accidents all the time, but... I miss exits. I hit curbs. I'm not, and I'm like, how is everyone else not running into each other all the time? No, I mean that. And I mean it from an anger perspective.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't we shooting each other every day? Isn't there a freeway
shooting? I think it's
shooting?
Coming. I think it's coming. Not
That's
within
great.
Our lifetime.
Thanks, Bob.
No, I think it's coming.
Well, you're the apocalypse guy. He thinks it's coming.
Yeah, I think it's coming. Here's what I think. After 9/11, I thought this is going to start happening all the time. We're going to be the new Israel because there's so much fertile soil.
Yeah, but that'll
take
care of it.
Huh?
That'll take care of it. Then when we become the new Israel, then we'll be taking care of business.
Well, it never happened. Another attack never happened.
I'm just saying. You said we're going to become
but
Israel.
But I think it's going to happen now.
Like police state?
But there'll be so many attacks all the time from disgruntled Americans. That's what I predict next. Next wave is going to be from the survivalist, anti-government. You know, they'll get inspired. That copycat thing where you're killing people for ISIS, we're going to kill people for the don't tread on me.
Well, this is the difference between antisocial and anxiety disorder, and once again, which is, I think we're going to get this eventually under control.
Yeah,
and
we will.
We'll be much better for
but
it.
Not like how we're doing it now.
No, it's going to take a long time.
I'm more fearful of people, young people growing up. Okay, this is going to be kind of a stretch, by the way. But then again, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about ever, so why would this be any different? I think... The entire mindset of kids nowadays, which is based around the internet and social media, leads them to believe there's more for them that there really is out there. There's more. They're going to be famous. They're going to be respected.
Yeah.
They're going to have all this stuff. And I think that's going to lead to depression and trying to take out your anger on other people that have something that you thought
that's
you deserved.
I'm talking about the fertile soil right there. There are already millions of people queued up for that.
That are angry.
Yeah. But I don't think it's going to be ISIS. I think it's going to be more, all the different hates are going to spread out. Now this thing is going to start spreading like wildfire. I really do believe that.
Well, that's what ISIS intended.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff you saw on college campuses maybe was the first flare of that, right?
Well, we've been having these shootings since before ISIS, but I think we're going to, it's there's something about it now.
Yeah, but
we're also used to the body count. I'm going to be totally honest. When it's 14, I'm like, oh, it's not that much.
I was also.
I hate to say
it.
Because there's body counts of 106 in Paris. There's body counts of the Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That was the new frontier.
Yeah.
Where one kid can kill 60 or 70 people in 10 minutes.
I got to also admit, along the lines of what you just said, is I felt a sense of relief when I found the first reports were it was a mentally. Challenged people's like care center, and the first thought was some guy walked in with a gun and shot a bunch of kids, and then when I found out it was adults, I was like, oh, phew,
oh, good,
not good,
but like, I mean, at least it's not children.
Yeah,
there is another layer to this too, which is just awful, which is this couple had a kid,
they gave it to their mother.
Shit.
Yeah,
so we are this far away from the next thing, which is these kids become shields, bombs, etc., which apparently they are in other countries.
Yeah, they are. So we got a mess, and how we're going to solve it is not the way we traditionally solve problems.
Hope our listeners are having a nice time. This is really uplifting. I'm not sure I meant for it to go quite this far down, but... we'll put this out around Christmas time. Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody.
So be careful shopping.
Hey, listen, I hope to God that this...
Hey, that's what... You know what?
I hope to God
Amazon execs are probably like, cha-ching!
But I hope this laughter about being in public shopping space is not after the fact seen as something...
Do you think we as people need to take responsibility in getting to know people better? And
yes.
I've always made
Voltaire,
this joke
buddy.
For
Cultivé
years and years.
No jardin.
Years and years and years.
Well, Voltaire said it.
I've been one of the few people at any improv I'm at, when I'm there, and I'm there a lot, at all the clubs around the country, and I will walk through the kitchen and say hi to everybody every time I'm there, and I'll say bye to everybody.
Nice.
And somebody said, you don't have to go through the kitchen and say bye to everybody. And I'm like, I jokingly said, well, when someone snaps, I don't want to be the guy they take aim at. And I was joking, but then I'm like, do we need to do that actually?
Yes.
Yes, make it more personal.
Be respect. Build your community. Be respectful. Connect. Yes.
I interface with some very disturbed and disgruntled young people every day.
I bet.
And I know that somehow, because I'm so, you know, kind of amiable and funny and cool, I really think that. Like, they're not going to, when they snap, they're going to be like, oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know why, but I do think community and love and compassion has something to do with it. We live in a very disconnected, uncompassionate. It says it's compassionate and it says there's a lot of opportunity, but there's not.
There's even opportunity for religion to have a big impact here, too, to build church community and common interests and common support for one another and service to one
another. You know what would be better for churches? If they separated from politics.
Oh, hell
I used to think politics would be better if it separated from church. I no longer am that optimistic. I think churches would be better if they separated from politics and adopted our secret society. We have no opinions about all that bullshit.
But whatever the community is, starts with the family, neighborhood, church, mall, whatever.
Do what you can, where you are, with what you've got.
Cultivez nos jardins. That's Voltaire. Cultivate your own garden. Mm-hmm. Start there. And speaking of that, we'll stop here. You start there, we'll stop here.
We talked about terrorism and transgender
Robin
sex. That's pretty good.
Yeah, this
thank
is
you
good.
Guys for having me
Mike,
on.
Mike, I appreciate it. Come anytime.
Would you have sex with Burt Reynolds if you could?
No.
Why?
Because I'm not gay.
Hey, buddy, be sure to check out Mike Carano on December 26th at the Hollywood Improv. It's not really a comedy show, but all music, and Mike is still entertaining. Also, check out At This Life Podcast, the Twitter handle. Also, check out DrDrew.com, where you can click through on the Amazon banner and support the podcast. And check out some of those podcasts as well. All right, we'll see you next time.
I'm an expert at overthinking, irresponsible in all the most charming ways. I'm a genius when I've been drinking. Hey, why'd you come here? I'm pleased not to meet you. Surely you have seen my work. I'm kinda famous. Drink water. Think slowly. Say thank you. Please take time to breathe.
Take chances, say